sunrise and sunset, promise and fulfillment, birth and death. The whole drama of life is written in the sands of time.
We present a new series of radio programs, The Clock.
Got a little time to spare? 30 minutes, maybe, by the clock? But first, perhaps I'd better introduce myself. Of course, I have so many names, at times it becomes rather confusing. In England, for instance, they call me Ben. I have a large and extremely showy flat in Westminster Tower. It's distinguished, to put it mildly. But just between the two of us, I feel more comfortable at the end of a chain. Then again, you can find me on your wrist, ticking away in a minor key. Of course, there's the quiet old lady who keeps a favorite place for me in the corner of her room. To her, I'm known as Grandfather. Yes, I'm known by many names to a multitude of people, and I know a multitude of people by their names. People whose lives have so much to do with the clock. But here I am, the only one who can really sell time. So here are 30 minutes on the counter for whoever wants to buy. 30 genuine 14-karat solid gold platinum-lined minutes, carefully tested. And here's a gentleman who thinks he can afford them. Well, fine. Wrap them up for Wilbur Cook. I've made a sale. But remember, Wilbur, no refunds, no exchanges.
Well, the clock in our office is a time clock, and it's got a handle on it. And I have pushed that handle for 13 years, twice a day. At 9, when I come in, and when I go out at
5 o'clock on the dot. Leave it to Wilbur, most dependable guy in the firm. Yes, sirree.
I'm in a hurry to get home, Charlie, so if you'll...
I'm going your way. Come on.
Well,
how's it hitting you, Wilbur? How's the score?
I'm not complaining.
Say, how long you been working for this company?
13 years.
You ever been late to work?
Well, not that I remember, and I've never been absent either.
Never been late, never been absent. Oh, Wilbur, you're terrific. Yes, sir.
I wish you wouldn't make fun of me, Charlie.
Make fun of you? Me?
Yeah, I know what the rest of the men in the office think. They laugh at me.
Now, Wilbur.
But I don't care. I haven't got time to waste my money on silly things. I've got a wife at home who looks after me and loves me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all that counts.
Now, listen, Wilbur, you got me wrong. I'm all for that.
Well, I appreciate the important things in life. You don't mind working hard anymore, day after day, year after year. You don't mind that at all, Charlie, as long as you've got someone to work for. Someone you can always count on.
You said it. If you're lucky.
Lucky? Well, what's luck got to do with a wonderful wife?
Well, because all women aren't built that way. Well, just last night, I was reading in the papers how a guy's wife ran away with a neighborhood butcher. You know, even with the price of meat, it ain't a good excuse.
What happened? Did he find them?
Oh, yeah, he caught up with them. He put 2 slugs in the butcher's skull and then pushed his wife out of an 8-story window.
Oh, that's horrible.
Ah, she deserved what she got. Well, she even tried to poison him before she ran away. Stuck some stuff in his food. How'd you like that?
Well, it's hard to believe it. Such things can happen.
Of course, the guy was a dope. He should have hired somebody else to bump him off.
You mean there are people who kill for money?
Well, Al McHugh once told me he knew a joint on 8th and Vine, a pool room, where you could hire a trigger man for $100. You just ask for a guy named Arch.
Well, I wouldn't pay any attention to him, Charlie, if I were you.
Oh, it's no skin off my teeth. I don't see myself slapping $100 on the line for any dame. Hey, I think I'll take a bus. You coming over?
I know. I'll walk.
Well, don't walk too slow.
What do you mean?
From what they told me, Wilbur, there's a butcher on every block.
Charlie didn't worry me at all with all his stupid jokes. A thing like that can never happen to me and Millie, not in a million years. But then, you know, I started to think of something that happened a few days before. It had me puzzled at the time. It was a letter from Millie with no return address. The postmark said Chicago, and I'd left it on the kitchen table before I went to work. Well, at night, I asked the conductor automatically who it was from. And she told me it was just an advertisement. an advertisement from Chicago. And the address on the envelope was in pencil. I looked at Millie for a minute, but she turned the other way. She seemed nervous, scared. I asked to see the letter, and I saw her face turn pale. Then she said she'd thrown it away an hour before. And as I was thinking about the letter, suddenly I realized I was running in the street, and I felt silly. I mean, what was I in such a hurry about? I'd get home, and she'd be standing there, looking at me with that funny smile. Or what were they to worry about? It was Millie. Then I reached the corner, and I saw him. It was too dark to recognize his face, and he was walking the other way. But he'd just come out of my house. A man in my house. But I was getting too excited. I wasn't being sensible. Why couldn't there be a man in my house? Sure, why not? They're living in the laundry, maybe, or fixing the stove. Oh, Millie would explain it. I was letting my imagination play tricks with me. Millie would explain it as soon as I got home.
Wilbur, that you?
Yes, Millie.
Hungry?
Not very.
What's the matter, Wilbur? Don't you feel well?
No, I'm fine. I'm just a little tired, I guess.
Sit down and read your paper. I'll have dinner ready.
Millie?
Yes?
How was everything today?
Everything? Why, same as usual.
My shirts come back?
Your shirts? Oh, the laundry isn't due till Monday. You know that.
The handyman been up here?
What for?
That broken coil on the kitchen range.
He fixed that yesterday. Don't you remember?
Oh, yes.
Wilbur, what's the matter with you?
Well, I guess I missed you today more than usual, that's all.
I miss you, too. It gets lonesome being home from 9 to 5. Alone?
I guess it does, Millie.
Now, I've got to finish getting dinner ready. You stay here until I call you, dear.
Well, I opened up my paper, but I didn't see the words. Alone. She said she was alone. And yet that man. I saw him. I leaned back in my easy chair, weak and tired. My face was wet and my shirt was sticking to my back. I reached for a handkerchief behind me in my pocket, and my hand touched something. I dived down under a cushion. I put out a pair of gloves. Man's gloves. But they weren't mine. That night I didn't sleep. I stayed awake and I wondered how a thing like that could be. What had I done? Hadn't I been faithful and kind and hardworking? Hadn't I skimped and I saved for 13 years at a job I couldn't stand? Why was she doing this to me? Why? The night was endless. Next morning, I started out for work as if nothing had happened. But I didn't go to the office. Instead, I waited across the street from my house in a doorway, out of sight. I was a spy, spying on my own wife.
Why, Wilbur Cook!
Oh, good morning,
Florence Fields. Goodness, I haven't seen you in ages. Oh, you know, I think it's terrible that neighbors like you and Millie and me don't get to see each other more often.
Well, we've been so busy.
Oh, now, don't give me that, Wilbur. You folks are regular gadabouts. Did you have a good time the other night?
The other night?
At the Stewart Hotel. I was going to say hello when I saw Millie going in, but she went by so fast.
You saw Millie going to the Stewart Hotel?
Sure. She was meeting you there, wasn't she?
Oh, yes, that's right. I remember now. As of the other night, I was working overtime in the office, and I met Millie late.
How was the dance band? Any good?
Oh, it couldn't be better.
Gee, I haven't been to a dance in months. 9 o'clock, I'd better get going. Remember me to Millie.
Stewart Hotel. She saw my wife going to Stewart Hotel. Cheap little place with a cheap reputation. And I'm almost sure they don't even have a band. Well, I don't know how long I waited. It might have been an hour. Finally, my wife came out of the house. She walked up to the corner without looking around, and I followed. On the corner, she caught a bus, the number 4. I took a cab, and I trailed behind. At 20th and Grand, I saw her leave. I got out of the cab, half a block away, and I watched her turn into a doorway underneath a dirty marquee. I looked up at the sign. It said, Stewart Hotel. For the rest of the day, I just wandered around. I didn't go to work. I felt sick to my stomach. My legs were weak. I kept saying to myself over and over again, my wife. My own wife had seen another man. It was impossible, but it was true. Around six, I found myself in front of my house. I tried to act naturally, but I closed the door.
Wilbur?
Yes?
Oh, just a minute. I'll be right in.
Well, Millie's handbag was on the sofa, and the catch had opened. Something was sticking out. It was the bank book we use for our joint account, our savings account. I picked up the book, and I opened it. Balance was $600. Should have been nine. I examined the withdrawal column. There were three. They amounted to $100 apiece, and they'd all been made the week before. On top of everything, she was even giving him our money.
Come on, Wilbur. Soup's on.
Really?
Yes?
What's
the matter, Wilbur?
Oh, nothing. I want to ask.
What is it?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. I think, Millie.
All right then, dear. Come on. Don't let the soup get cold.
I took a spoonful of soup and it tasted sour. I could hardly swallow it. I wasn't hungry, but I had to make a show. Well, I tried again, and it tasted even worse than before. And then I realized that she was trying to poison me.
Oh, what is it?
I need some air.
Wilbur!
I need some air, I tell you.
Wilbur, come back here! Wilbur! Wilbur!
I walked like a man who was doped. She wanted to kill me. She wanted to kill me. But I had to beat it to it, and I had to do it fast. All my life had been kicked around. I'd never hit back. But it's too much, even for me. I'd get her first, and then I'd get the man. But first, I'd get her.
Moving finger writes, and having writ moves on. Nor all your piety, nor wit, shall lure it back to cancel half a line. Nor all your tears wash out a word of it. Time is measured by the stars, and some say our lives are also measured by the stars. I wonder what they hold now for Wilbur Cook.
What did Charlie tell me? The pool room in Nathan Vine. We could hire a triggerman for $100. Just ask for a man named Arch. On 8th and Vine, a pool room.
Hey, that's it. Right in your corner pocket.
Looking for someone, Jim?
Yes.
Who?
Arch.
Arch?
I have a job for Arch.
Follow me. In there.
Is it inside that room?
That's right.
Thank you.
Just a minute.
What are you doing?
Don't look like the gun-toting type, but Arch likes to be careful. Okay, mister, you can go in.
The room was small and dark, and there was a table and a chair and a spittoon. A man was at the table playing solitaire. He wasn't a big man, and he was thin, and he didn't look up as I entered. He just motioned to a chair.
Sit down.
Thank you.
I want to see me.
Yes.
What for?
Business.
What kind of business?
Well, there's someone I don't like. I understand I may be able to do something about it.
Who sent you here?
I know one.
How did you know where to come?
I just heard.
And how much you want to pay?
How much is it?
All depends.
On what?
How tough a job it is.
Well, it won't be hard.
Who is it?
My wife.
What's the matter? Find another guy?
How much?
$100.
All right.
In advance.
All right, I've got it right here.
Okay. Thanks.
She'll leave the house at noon tomorrow. I'll see that she does. It's a two-family house at Red Brick, and the address is 827 Allen Avenue. I'll print it on this card, and the name is Cook.
Tomorrow, 12 sharp, okay.
It's got to be done away from the house.
Okay. What does she look like?
Oh, she's pretty.
What else?
About 5'4".
Got a picture.
A picture?
Your wallet, baby.
Oh, yes, I have. Now, this was taken 2 years ago. Is that all?
That's all.
Can I go now?
Sure.
I'll be seeing you.
You ain't gonna be seeing nobody. But everything will be taken care of.
When I left the place, I got that feeling again. Like I was gonna be sick. I hardly knew where I was walking. And I found myself in a bar across the street. And the first time I'd taken a drink in my life. I had another, and another, and four more. I poured it down in my throat like water. It burned my throat, and I left the bar, and I started home. It was almost midnight, and I thought she'd be asleep. But when I opened the door, I saw the light was on in the bedroom.
Wilbur?
Yes, it's me.
Where have you been?
Out.
It's almost midnight.
What of it?
Wilbur, I want to talk to you.
I'm too tired to talk.
There's something you've got to know.
I know too much already.
You found the bank book, didn't you? And you probably found the gloves. Steve told me he left them here.
Steve?
I had to give him money, Wilbur. And I couldn't tell you. He made me promise I wouldn't tell.
Oh, don't blame him.
He's been living in Chicago for the past 3 years, and he's been gambling again. He welched on a debt, and he was afraid for his life. He wanted to hide so they wouldn't find him. He made me swear I wouldn't tell you, Wilbur. He made me swear.
Huh?
I know I had no right to give him that money, not after you worked so hard for it, Wilbur, but maybe that's why I kept my promise to Steve. I was afraid you'd be mad. I couldn't help it, Wilbur, honest. He is my brother.
Nellie, oh, brother. Your crazy brother. And all along, I thought it was another man. Nellie, I've got to stop him.
Wilbur, where are you going? Brother!
I still got time. Taxi, where's the taxi? Taxi! Listen, Brian. Hurry, please. I've got to stop him. I've got to. I can't go to the police. I can't tell the police I made a bargain to kill my wife, and now I've changed my mind. But all he wanted was the money. I'll just tell him to keep the money and forget the whole thing. Oh, I must have been crazy. I must have been out of my mind that I'm all right now. She loves me. She's never stopped. Oh, Millie, can you ever forgive me? Wait here, driver. No. No, it can't be.
Hey, you're looking for something, mister.
This poor woman. Isn't it open?
Can't you read that sign up there? Closed. Until further notice.
Closed?
Yeah. Hey, you better go home. It's getting late.
Yeah, it's getting late. Too late. Millie was sleeping when I got back home. I lay down on the couch with my clothes on. And I tried to think. Millie found me there the next morning when she got up.
Wilbur.
Good morning, Millie.
Oh, Wilbur, I'm so glad you're back. I thought I... Oh, Wilbur, you're ill.
I'm sorry I ran out like that last night. Millie, where are you going now?
Why, just to the kitchen, dear, to make some coffee.
And Millie, don't leave me. Stay with me here all day, please.
Of course I will, dearest. If you're sick, what else would I do?
I'm very sick. But you mustn't leave me for a minute.
Maybe I better call a doctor.
Oh, no, don't do that. I'll be all right in a few hours. Just sit here with me, Millie. Don't go away.
Oh, poor Wilbur. And it's all my fault.
No, Millie, don't say that. You... Millie!
Oh, Wilbur.
Don't answer it, Millie, for heaven's sake. Don't answer it.
But why not?
Oh, keep away from that door.
But why? I'll be right back.
Millie!
It's only the grocery boy. Oh, thank you, Danny. Wilbur, what's wrong? I told you I was sorry. I thought you'd understand. What can I do?
Oh, it's not you, Millie. My nerves, they ain't so good. I guess I just need a rest.
Wilbur, you can't go on this way. You look so ill. I'll bet you didn't sleep a wink last night.
Well, I wasn't tired.
You've got to get some rest, darling. I'll make you comfortable inside.
No. I'll stay here on the couch and you sit down next to me, Molly.
All right, darling.
Just stay right here where I can watch you.
All right, dear.
The clock's at 9:30. And I could hear the ticking from the couch. Every second, every minute was bringing us closer to the time. And I didn't have a plan. I had to have a plan. I had to think of one. With one you haven't slept for 30 hours. It's hard to keep your eyes open and stay awake. I didn't know. Before you sleep, I didn't know. Shopping, she wrote. Be back in half an hour. Half an hour, and the clock was chiming noon. Oh, Millie, thank heavens.
Your name, Cook? Wilbur Cook?
And I knew. It was too late. Said Millie was a policeman outside my door. He'd come to tell me that she'd just been killed.
I said, is your name Cook?
Yes, officer, I'm Wilbur Cook.
You're lucky, mister. Lucky you're still alive. We found this card with your address on it, and we picked up Arch Marone.
Arch Marone?
This guy makes a specialty of killing for hire. You might have been next on his list. Know anything about it?
I don't.
Ever been to a pool room on 8th and Vine?
Yes, I've been there.
Wokey hangout. We raided it last night. Closed it up for keeps. Say, you don't look like the type who would hang out in a joint like that. You play the horse?
No, I've never had.
Just like a game of billiards, huh? Well, you watch your step from now on. This punk might have gotten your address either to rob you or to rub you out. You stay home with little woman, Wilbur. It's safer.
Wilbur!
Oh, is this her, Wilbur?
Yes.
Well, ma'am, you want to take good care of your husband, you know. He's not looking too good.
Oh, I will, officer. I will.
That's good, ma'am. Well, goodbye for now.
Goodbye, officer.
Millie.
What did the policeman want?
He made a mistake, and so did I.
Oh, Wilbur, you look a little better than you did before, dear. Were you right when you woke up and found me gone?
Well, you'll never know how much.
Oh, Wilbur.
Oh, Millie. I'm a fool.
No, you're not. Now, come inside and I'll fix you up some lunch.
Oh, but I'm a lucky fool and a happy one right now.
And that's the story of Wilbur Cook as recorded by the clock. I rather like a happy ending, don't you? I like to feel that life is really worth living in spite of all the shortcomings and mistakes. but then I've always been known to be a very optimistic fellow. Oh, yes, and I'll prove it to you the next time you're late to make that train. You'll look at me and you see your time is short, but there'll be something about my face that'll make you think the minutes will stretch. And I'll do my best to stretch them, just for you. But I see my time is running short and I think I'll have to leave. I'd like to thank you for your hospitality and patience. You've all been excellent hosts. This program was written by Lawrence Klee, and you heard Hart McGuire as the clock, and as Wilbur, Ozzie Wenban, as Millie, Lynn Murphy. Others were Lloyd Burrell, Madge Ryan, Richard Meikle, Alan Trevor, Owen Ainley, Albert Garcia. The Clock is a Grace Gibson Radio production, directed by John Saul.